pretty relaxed. You're chairing, aren't you? You did? Oh. All right.
What?
No, no.
It's fine. Whichever. Okay.
Watch out, world. All right, let's go ahead and call this meeting of the Colorado Voter Access and Modernized Elections Commission to order. It is October 28th, 2013. First order of business is public comment. Is there anyone here who would like to offer public comment to the commission? Okay. Next item is to review the responses to the request for documented quotes for the third commission report.
So we don't, am I on? Was on. Okay, so we don't have any responses back because we didn't put out the documented quote request. We don't have the funding for it. And so I think that we need to decide as a commission how we want to move forward on that. I was just looking up the exact language, and maybe somebody else has it in front of them, but this third report was kind of a summation of the recommendations that were going to come out of the first two. So I was wondering if maybe we could take the sheet that Representative Rankin put together as a starting point of what those, he was doing that tracking list of maybe what those recommendations had been, and go through that tracking list and see what we have. And I see Elena pulling out the exact language. So maybe we can take a look at that exact language and then talk about where to go from there.
/11/115, towards the end. It's like three pages. It says, let's see, recommendations based on the two needs assessment reports described above shall also set forth a process by which the commission will review the use of technology used during the 2014 general election. Oh, wait, this is, yeah, this report must be presented on or before January 15th, 2014.
Right, so that report didn't seem as interview intensive, maybe voluminous. I don't know what the correct word is, but it seemed like maybe a report that we could do internally with some staff assistance from the secretary's office or as a subcommittee of the commission. But we only asked for funding for the three reports, and the third one is the one that comes after the election. And so we didn't ask for any funding in the fiscal note to fund this particular report. I don't think we really read it as a new report.
So what do people think about that as an approach? I mean, it seems like as one step we might want to outline what we think the report should include so we can decide whether or not there's the capacity to do it either through a subcommittee or with staff or some combination.
Yeah, I agree. This is Martha Tierney. I'm a little bit concerned about the, it seems like with the addition of the use of technology used during the 2014 general, that that is adding a new project for the report instead of just summarizing what happened in A and B. But I agree with your approach, Elena, that figuring out what would go in it would likely be the first step. To that end, Suzanne, did you guys put together a request for whatever you call them?
A bid?
Yeah.
Document quote? No, yeah. Because we didn't have any funding appropriated for it. So we did not put out a request.
Okay.
And if we had, it would have just been for the $24,000 that we did. You know, I mean, it would have had the price on it and then essentially said, tell us what you can do for this amount, which is what we did for the last two. But since that wasn't part of the fiscal note, we never put out the request. I mean, we do have a new technology committee, so I think that I mean, as far as use of technology, I think we'll at least have, you know, Trevor might have some ideas on that. We'll certainly have a survey of what counties are using, and we're looking right now at security systems and some of those types of things. So, Trevor, I don't know if you want to come up and talk about some ideas you would have to present from a technology standpoint, and we could certainly also update where we are on our some of the changes we need to make to our statewide voter system and our registration systems. Go ahead, Trevor.
Sure. And again, my name is Trevor Timmons, representing IT division for the Secretary of State's office. So I do think that the first two reports were more of an evaluation of the impact of 1303. And I think based on the experience this fall, we may actually, that may lead to some recommendations. Some of the activities that, and some of this may obviate the need for a detailed report from the technology subgroup. But one of the activities that we have going on right now is we have staff that are visiting various locations throughout the state. I think between last week, this week, and next week, I think we'll have staff on site in, I think, about 30 counties to actually review the impact of voter service and polling centers on the elections process. We do, in our office, we keep track pretty closely of the usage of SCORE, the state voter registration system. What we've seen so far is that the SCORE almost exactly parallels usage of the system during 2011, which shouldn't be a huge surprise. I've spoken with a couple of counties myself within the last few days, and what I've heard is that activity has been relatively low. And they attribute that to mail ballots having gone out to every registered voter, which makes sense. We have seen in years past that as early voting opens up, there's clearly a ramp up, right, in terms of the number of folks that actually show up to exercise their right to vote, whether they're turning in a mail ballot or just showing up to vote in person. So I'm not incredibly surprised that the usage has been pretty low so far. And again, it looks pretty much like 2011. At least from our perspective, looking at how many user sessions are actually accessing SCORE and the level of activity that we're seeing. We do think that with the site visits that we're doing, we put together a couple of checklists that we have folks actually using as they're doing those site visits. And we're hoping that will kind of influence future activities in terms of understanding what specific issues counties maybe experienced this fall that they haven't seen before, which we're expecting there will be some, and then just to make sure that we're keeping our ears close to the ground.
I just wanted to interrupt for just a second, Trevor. Stephen, Hillary just sent a note that she and Fran were trying to call in but having trouble. Could you resend them the number? Richard?
Trevor? Are you planning on, or is the office planning on capturing the results of the interactions that you're planning on having in the 30-plus counties that you just described, that there'll be some way you're going to be collecting that information and putting it in some kind of a report or spreadsheet?
Sure. Thank you, Commissioner Westfall. Yes, we are. We've actually again, there are two primary documents that we're using to try to gather information. One is an acceptable use policy checklist. It's really around the how counties are actually setting up to use this system. For example, are the computers that they're setting up to access the statewide voter registration system, do they have firewalls? Are they patched? Are passwords known only to individuals and there aren't shared passwords being used? There are 9 items on that checklist. And the folks that are actually out doing the doing site visits last week, this week, and next week, it's a non-intrusive, audit is kind of a loaded term in my experience, but that's essentially what we're doing. And then we're capturing those results, and yes, we are collecting those in a spreadsheet. It's really to help us understand maybe what issues counties are running into, as the way that they're actually trying to manage the conduct of elections is changing a little bit. And so we're hoping that it'll influence the areas that we really want to focus on for next year. And then there's another checklist around accessibility of polling places, and just the setup of polling places. Some counties have deep experience in preparing voting locations, you know, for a variable number of folks actually walking in. And some counties maybe demonstrated less capability along those lines. So we want to make sure that they're applying best practices as they're preparing for not only in-person voting, not only mail ballot drop-off, not only issuing flat ballots so people can vote in person, but also preparing for folks walking in to vote on to register and vote on Election Day, or even during the early voting period before Election Day. One of the organizations that we've reached out to try to help us along those lines is OIT. I've engaged with Jonathan Troll, the state's chief information security officer. Jonathan has started up a practice of having quarterly meetings under the title of Secure Colorado. They're really focusing on best security practices across the state. And as we issued a revised acceptable use policy to counties on October 3rd, we held a phone call last Tuesday with several representatives from counties about kind of those security policies that we're putting in front of them, as well as some network and system guidelines that we issued to them as well. In working with Jonathan, we feel there are a lot of state systems out there that have multiple county participation as users, as agents of the state, as agents maybe of a department of the state. And we want to make sure that as we're moving forward, that we're actually in line with the state's security practices and guidelines that they're moving forward. Personally, I think that we are in line with the state security practices, but having Jonathan Troll and his group involved and reaching out to county technical resources to make sure that we're all kind of on the same page as we're moving along, that's really our goal and our intent.
Other questions or thoughts?
I had one more question about the fiscal note. This is Martha Tierney. I seem to recall that there were four reports in the fiscal note, three for this fiscal year and then one for the 14-15 fiscal year. Do I have that right, Suzanne?
I don't know. When we went back and looked at it, I know we don't have the money in the budget. I know we would have to get supplemental, so I don't know whether that's been budgeted, whether it was in the fiscal note and we just didn't get the entire amount appropriated. I'm not sure what happened. But when we went back to look at it, we just don't have the funding. And we can do some of it internally, but that's really why we looked at this one as maybe one of the reports that we would not send out for, you know, it's not an independent needs assessment. It doesn't kind of have those words in it that make me think we need an outside person to do it. The evaluation is really not an evaluation of technology, but rather an evaluation of how this, I guess, sort of a plan of how this commission would evaluate the technology going forward, which I think we have pretty well established that in putting together the technology working group and starting to gather that data, and probably having to work more with the state in the coming months to try to get, I think what Trevor is alluding to is more of a statewide user policy for all kinds of divisions, not just ours, that, you know, they access, that counties may access our databases, but many other databases where the state is responsible for personal information of users, but it's being accessed by counties or cities or whatever the case may be. So those types of things are what I would be looking for in terms of how we're going to evaluate that technology going forward. I mean, the other evaluations that would have come out of those reports, Representative Rankin had put together that list. A lot of them overlap technology uses because so much of that first report was based on technology. A lot of it was covered by the business practice group. And so I think taking those two pieces together, it wouldn't be that difficult to try to put them in a report. Go ahead.
As a follow-up to that, I agree with you on the security side that there's a lot of those items that we would be interested in, and Trevor's comments on that stuff are well-informed, I think, and appreciated. What I would be interested in making sure we also look at, though, in terms of the language is use of technology, looking at, for example, expanded use of Everyone Counts, or, you know, other kinds of things that are not just security focused. Now, there's a security element to that, of course, but I guess I throw that out there to make sure, excuse me, that we aren't prescribing a process that's too narrow.
No, well, I think what I was going to suggest in terms of that is, you know, we've had these ongoing discussions. Let's take Everyone Counts, for instance. I mean, that would take a statutory change to expand its use anyway. So because of some of the issues we've had, you know, talking about cleanup or statutory changes, I would recommend we just leave anything that's not actually about 1303 the way it's written out of the report. Because, you know, if somebody wants to do a statutory fix here or there, or it's sponsored by, you know, whomever, that's not really something in the control of the commission and has typically led to kind of a non-productive discussion. So I'm not sure whether we really want to go down that road, because if we start talking about expanded use of Everyone Counts, then we're really talking about legislation that goes with it. If we talk about changing the dates of registration or the dates of durational residency, we're talking about legislation. And so it's making assumptions that just aren't really there. So I would suggest we look at it in terms of implementing 1303 the way it is and the way it exists, rather than making it more broad. But, you know, that's obviously up to the commission. I just think if you make it more broad, you just get out there and you don't know where to stop.
I would tend to agree. I also think that there's, looking at the first two reports, there is quite a bit that we need to cover. I mean, the first report looked at voting and registration system technology, and then the second looking at the technology, which, you know, the machines, replacement, security, et cetera. So I think even with the two subgroups that exist, delving into both of those reports and then parsing out what recommendations could look like, it seems like it is a significant undertaking without taking on the policy questions that we may not have consensus for.
And because this commission is, you know, somewhat limited in its time, I mean, my thought was, since so many of them are technology related, that perhaps we ask the technology subgroup to take a look at doing an outline. And then I have a policy analyst who hasn't started but will start on Friday, and this would be probably a good project for that person to put all that data together and, you know, learn what we do all at the same time. So, you know, from my perspective, we'd be willing to dedicate some hours, just because I think it'd be a good learning experience for her, and probably a good use of her time to put together that sort of a report. I mean, the other advantage is it would be a little bit more independent from, I guess, our office's view of it, which has also sometimes been, has led to non-productive conversations, because, you know, Trevor is the only representative, I think, from our office that's on the technology, and then we have other people from the state and a couple county clerk, or not clerks, but people in the counties who are technology savvy, I guess I would characterize it that way. So that was just one idea I had, that we could, you know, get this done without spending the money on it.
Richard?
Well, I think that's certainly worth a shot, just to at least see what you guys are able to come up with. And before we, you know, make a recommendation to spend money and try to hire somebody else to help us do this next two reports, the January report and the February report, because we're going to we have the two reports that have already been done and we've already paid for, that have already been paid for. Number two, we have what lessons could be learned. I understand that the rules changed on the recall, but there's maybe something to be learned from the recall elections. And then we certainly will have the November elections, and we're going to have data there as well. So let's take everything we've got, our two reports, the data from the November election, what little lessons there are to be learned from the recall, put it all on the table, and let's just collect it all and start that sifting process. And if you're committing that you and the secretary are going to have some staff working on this and at least do some grappling with it, let's see what the results are of that, and then let's discuss it as a commission.
Other thoughts?
But if anyone else wants to write it themselves, I'm fine with that.
I'm sure once there's an outline, I'll have thoughts that I'd be happy to share with folks.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. I mean, I understand it's the commission's report, so I'm certainly not trying to, you know, take it or form it in any way. I'm just trying to offer some solution to this issue. We just don't have the funding. So whatever the commission.
Representative McNulty.
Thank you. And so you think that you can, utilizing what the technology subgroup has and will do, you think that you can offer some report or some outline to the commission within existing resources?
I believe we can with the two reports that have already been done and an assessment by the technology subgroup along with some staff support, probably not a lot, but some staff support from the office. We can put together a report, and then the commission can start to sift through what they feel they're recommend, you know, what they're comfortable with in terms of recommendation.
Thanks.
The only thing I would add is I think it would be helpful to loop in the business practice subgroup as well, who's done a lot of work looking at SCORE and kind of the practical application at the voter service and polling centers. And I don't know if that's having the two subcommittees work together or having both report back. I don't know what makes sense, but I think it would make sense to integrate that as well. Jesse?
Thanks. I agree with that. That's what I was going to suggest. In some way, maybe it's a report subcommittee. I mean, I know that sounds a little unruly, but I never want to ignore the experience of the business practices group on these kinds of things. And I would be willing to put in work there if that was how it was shaped. And then secondly, I think that, Martha, you were right, and that there were $96,000 allocated in the fiscal note for the reporting, so we should just figure out where that went.
Representative McNulty.
Thanks. So we can look forward to the report of the report group subcommittee?
So Jesse is the chair of the report subcommittee. That's what I heard.
I just mean that we should either deal with it as a group here, or if everyone isn't interested, then who is would like to help on this kind of thing, oversee the management of it?
It seems to me that if the Secretary of State's office is willing to dedicate at least a portion of the time of one of their policy analysts to this endeavor, that policy analyst can act as the liaison between the two subgroups and work to develop a report that reflects the interests and priorities of both of those subgroups for the commission to review once it's done without having to go through another process.
Do we have any overlap on those groups?
We do.
Trevor Timmons again. We have a couple of folks that have volunteered to be involved. Amber McReynolds, I believe that she's on the business practice subgroup. Okay. I cannot remember her last name. We have another county clerk representative who's volunteered to be included. We don't have any technical resources from counties that have volunteered to be involved in the subgroup. And considering the charter, I think that's a significant gap. We did have several folks, as I mentioned, we had a conference call last Tuesday with several folks from counties, and I did issue the call while we were in that conversation. If any of them would choose to volunteer, we'd love to have their participation, because some of the aspects that we're trying to cover really deal with how counties are actually provisioning, you know, voter service and polling centers with the technology to you know, manage real-time registrations. It's an area that I feel that we do need to cover, and we don't have any technical resources from the county level on that group quite yet. I'm not all that surprised. They're in the middle of running elections right now, and so I haven't started badgering people too heavily, but I expect we'll get there.
Great. Hillary or Fran, did either of you or both of you want to jump in?
I was just, Trevor already covered who from the business practice group is on both. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yep, you're good.
Okay, good. I said something earlier. Thanks.
Jesse?
Thanks. So just to clarify, the two subcommittees that exist will work together through the staffer at the Secretary of State's office, who will facilitate the writing of the recommendations for technology changes in 2014 and then present that report to this this commission, and then we get to review it and figure out how to tweak it and change it.
I think that's the proposal. I would just amend that to say if we could midway get an outline or some sort of approach that might be helpful so that we don't have the staff person put significant time into developing recommendations and then have us say, well, we want to do this right. other thing.
So. Yeah, I envisioned I'd just send her to the next meeting of each of those groups. When's yours, Trevor? Do you know?
Once the counties have actually conducted the election, right. I imagine then we'll be able to get their attention to participate.
Yeah, so it would probably be after their meeting and after the business practices meeting, then we could have her come back with an outline at that point of the topics from those groups and then see if that was appropriate and then have her continue to work on it from there.
I think that makes sense. Other thoughts? Jesse?
Again, just process. Those will be noticed in advance at least 24 hours, et cetera. Okay.
Yeah. Just
And then I think the only piece, and maybe this is something the two groups will recommend, and if not, we'll have to figure out, is just what the process for evaluation looks like. I think that is the piece that's a little bit different than looking at the first two assessments and making recommendations, and that might be something where if there's any of the allocation left from the fiscal note or if we can find funds, it might be worth getting some outside guidance on how to set up a process for evaluation, because I think that is something that is a little bit outside of our area of expertise. And if not, we'll figure out a way to do it. Anything else on the report? Okay, so then the two subcommittees will meet probably after the election and then work with the analyst and report back after, at a commission meeting after that. All right. So next up is the business practices subgroup report. Hillary, is there any update from business practices? We can
Sorry, I had someone come in my office. Were you just talking about the business practice group?
Yeah, is there an update? Sorry.
We have not met since the last time, as everyone is heads down in the elections.
Okay, great.
But we will be meeting after the election.
Sounds good. Thanks. Trevor, technology subcommittee report.
Thank you again, Trevor Timmons, Secretary of State's office. Just two things that I haven't touched on already. I believe the Commission is aware that we did publish a request for information around electronic poll books, really intended to kind of gauge the willingness of the commercial market to provide an electronic poll book for use in Colorado to meet our requirements. We did receive 10 responses to that RFI. And then we're preparing to post an RFP, a request for proposals. There are multiple electronic poll books that are out there across the country. To my knowledge, none of them have actually been used on a statewide basis. I believe most of them have been used in a countywide scheme. And I don't believe any of them have experience with posting real-time new registrations to a statewide database. So there are a couple areas that did get some feedback from those 10 responses that will influence the RFP. I'm expecting the RFP is going to be published within a week. The Deputy Secretary of State doesn't know this yet, but one of the areas that we'd like to include in the RFP is a request for respondents to submit information on security, stress, performance, and load testing that they have done either in an actual election environment or preparing for sales to customers and clients. And we'd like the respondents to actually submit those as confidential materials, so we wouldn't have to turn those over in response to an open records request. Some of that is probably considered proprietary by those companies. We think it's to Colorado's benefit to get as much detailed information on the testing and the performance of these electronic poll books as possible before we would actually engage in conversations with those vendors. And then just the one last point I wanted to bring up is we have been working with our JBC analyst in terms of the potential expenses of implementing 1303. One of the areas that is unknown at this point is one of our staff members, Rich Schleip. He's the information security officer for our office. He's presented to this commission in the past. He's been involved with the policy development work coming out of Jonathan Troll's shop up at OIT. One of the aspects that they're considering requiring as a statewide policy is around database encryption of data at rest. If they impose that requirement, that is a new requirement, and it's not free. We have engaged with a few different vendors that offer technology that actually meets that need, so we're developing an understanding of what the costs of implementing that sort of database encryption would be, where we would we need to actually move down that path.
What does that mean? Can you explain that?
Sure. So just generally, okay, so I'm going to build some air castles here. So at the core of SCORE is a database. It maintains information on all registered voters and their participation in elections, right? And all that information actually lives in a couple of sets of databases. Around that core database, there's a bunch of technology around it, right? There are firewalls, there's a bunch of network gear, there's a bunch of devices that actually try to detect and repel attackers, right? But at the core database, I'll add one other wrinkle. So we do backups of the data, obviously, pretty regularly. When those backups are created, the data is actually written to tapes, right? Backup tapes, they go off-site. The data on those tapes is encrypted. I mean, if someone were to intercept the Brinks truck that had the tapes, then they wouldn't be able to use the tapes because it's all encrypted. But the core database itself, the information in that database, it's not encrypted as it's living on those servers. We have a whole bunch of security around the perimeter of that system, but the data itself living on the servers is not encrypted as it's just sitting on those servers. So in theory, if someone brought a tank and they drove it into a data center and they lifted all the servers and they knew the passwords to the servers and they could get to those disks, well, then that information is not encrypted as it sits at rest. When it's transmitted back and forth to counties, it's encrypted. When it's dumped to backup tapes, it's encrypted. To actually gain access to the servers as a user or as an administrator, you have to have a login and a password, and now you have to have a challenge code with the multi-factor encryption we've rolled out. But for a really sophisticated attacker that penetrated the physical plant, they might get disk drives that had unencrypted information. This is not unusual, honestly. But it is an area that if state security policies change and they say when that data is living on a disk in a server farm, you know, it should be encrypted. So if you lost one of those disks, it walked out of the room for whatever reason, all that information would still be secure. Now, one of the reasons this is kind of important is there have been a couple of examples within the last couple of years. State of Utah had a bunch of information that was compromised. Several hundred thousand individuals whose personal information was stolen. It wasn't voter information, it was healthcare information. State of South Carolina, same sort of thing happened. In one instance, it was a misconfigured server that had a root password that wasn't changed when a machine was given access to the internet. And another example, it was a malware attack. An authorized user clicked a link in an email that actually installed some malware. Sadly enough, that was actually a Citrix-based implementation, which is similar to how SCORE is accessed today. Both of those instances resulted in multi-million-dollar fines being levied on the state, resignations of employees, credit protection being bought for the citizens, you know, the residents of those states whose information had been compromised and let out in the wild. Those are the types of, you know, events that result in someone like Jonathan Troll saying, good grief, maybe we should require, you know, encryption of data at rest. So that's really the type of thing we're looking at.
Got it. Thank you. Other questions? Representative McNulty?
How many attacks are repelled either on a monthly basis or annual basis?
Again, Trevor Timmons, more than 1,000, probably more than 5,000.
A year?
I mean, they're daily.
Oh, really?
Weekly.
Your database is getting pinged.
Well, I won't say the database itself is getting pinged, but access to those network-facing assets, they're getting pinged all the time. Yeah, generally, when we recognize that sort of thing, and you know, generally we do, our first action, if we see repeated attempts, is we actually block that IP address. So that computer, wherever it happens to be, actually can't continue those intrusion attempts.
Right. Thank you.
Thanks. Any other questions? All right. Thanks, Trevor. Okay. Next up is the EAC survey discussion. And at our last meeting, we had decided to have the two subgroups look at it and make recommendations. Neither subgroup has met, so we need to decide what we want to do, if we want to go through the survey question by question here, if we want to postpone and see what comes up in the context of preparing the report, because I think that was the original intent, was to guide the report for January, or something else. Go ahead.
I suggest we wait until at least the committees have a chance to look at it. I don't know that it will take us quite a while to do that, and I don't know that we would gain anything from it at this point. So,
anyone else?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think that us sitting here and deciding what's important and what's not is probably going to really get us anywhere without the subgroups looking at it. And I think that there are some real time constraint issues. I think that we need to look at what kind of data we already gather and put together after each election, because in talking with our staff, when we put together our EAC report, you know, on the even years, it takes us months to answer all of these questions and make sure that the data is correct. And, you know, there are other reports that we just put together after elections that are available for anybody to look at and that are easy to run, and that we know through our systems are accurate. But to take some of this and fill it in is going to be very time consuming, and I'm not entirely sure what the benefit's going to be. And I imagine the clerks probably feel much the same way about some of these that have to do with how many judges did you have, and you know, how some of the things they're actually going to have to sit and record right now, and VSPC is open today. So the timeliness of that is also questionable. I think we should look at it in terms of after the election, what kind of data do we have, and what's valuable.
Great. So maybe that's something the analyst working with the two subcommittees, if there are pieces of it that are worth bringing in, can recommend that. Otherwise, we'll leave it to them in the context of creating the report. Any other thoughts or disagreement on that? Okay. Issue tracking. So I think we keep this on the agenda just as a standing item. Are there any issues that have been updated or that anyone would like to discuss or pull off any of the sheets for review? Anyone? All right. We're good for issue tracking then, too, for today. All right, so our last agenda item is to set the date, time, and agenda for our next commission meeting. And it seems like we have quite a bit that's holding on the business practice and technology subgroups getting up and running, which won't happen until after the election. So maybe this is a question for Hillary and Trevor. Realistically, when do we think those groups can meet, and then we can set a meeting for after that?
This is Hillary. We, at our last meeting a while ago, we scheduled our next business practice group meeting for the 14th after the election. That gives people the week to complete and the few days of getting into the wrap-up, which is a Thursday, if that helps.
So then if we were to hold our meeting on the 18th, would that be enough time to then turn around recommendations or next steps coming out of that meeting, or do we need to postpone another week?
My preference would be to postpone another week. That way we could wrap up and have, if we needed follow-up from the group. The concern with that is the week of Thanksgiving. So.
Right. Commissioners, what do you think? Does the 25th work, or should we look at moving our meeting to another day towards the end of the week of the 18th so that there's a little bit more time? Preferences?
I'm fine with either.
Okay, well, let's stick with the 25th. And Trevor, does that give enough time for technology as well? Jesse?
Quick request. Tell me if this is possible, Steve, or Trevor, or Hillary, I suppose. Could you, with your subgroups, when they meet, instead of waiting for the 24-hour notice, could you let the commissioners know as soon as they're scheduled in case we'd like to try to attend? Thank you.
You bet. And so we will be meeting at, it starts at 9 o'clock. It should go, we scheduled it for longer because we wanted to review the election and see if any other issues. So we have it scheduled from 9 to 11:30. And as I'm talking to you, I will send an email to Steve as well. Steven.
Thank you.
Great, thanks. All right, so our next meeting then will be the 25th at 1 p.m. And the agenda, we'll do reports from the two subcommittees, and then we need to discuss the January report. Are there other items that commissioners would like to put on that agenda?
I was going to ask, and maybe I can check with the clerks as well if we want to update. I had talked about having the regional chairs come and report after they to report on from their region of, you know, elections and any issues they saw. The 25th may be too soon, I can check, but I would definitely like them to come to the next meeting whenever we schedule that, and if it would be 2 weeks, that would help so that I could give them notice so they can prepare to come as they come from around the state. So my first request would be if they came 2 weeks from the 25th, which I don't have that date.
So that would be the 9th? So maybe we'll set that as the next meeting and then invite the regional chairs to come to that meeting?
That would be my preference. That way it gives them plenty of time to get here.
That sounds good. Any other agenda items either for the 25th or for the 9th?
Sorry, this is Martha. Just so I'm clear on the process, so the after the two subgroups meet, they will be prepared to come back on that the 25th to talk to us about what they think works for this report, for lack of a better word, the recommendations based on the two needs assessment reports and the use of technology. Is that our goal, working with your new person, Suzanne?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Okay. That might take some time, so I'm not worried that we don't have a lot of things on the agenda.
I think we have plenty to keep us busy, yes.
So this is Hillary. I'm going to ask some questions so I'm sure I set the right agenda. So the business practice group at the meeting on the 14th had already an agenda to review all of, like, review NCOA, review voter service and polling centers, review voter registration, look at, you know, our proposed processes versus how they actually played out, identify other issues, which I think would roll into the report. We just hadn't planned that time for the report, so my suggestion would be, well, those are topics we feel like as the group we really need to dive into right after the election.
Yeah, I think that makes
sense. I'm looking for a suggestion of, I mean, I think those items would roll into the report. I'm just not sure that by the end of the 14th we'd be ready to say, here's what we think needs to be included in the report. So, but we could maybe schedule one for the following week. I just realized we skipped a week, if that's a smaller group that meets with the SOS staff. And they're welcome to join the call, of course.
Yeah, I think that makes sense, and I think that there is a lot of overlap with the first needs assessment and the things that will come out of the debrief you just described, so it would just be that additional layer of figuring out what, if anything, needs to be specific in the report.
And then would the commission be okay once the person from the SOS is assigned, if they're, I might have missed their name, if we set a meeting the week of the 18th with that person to follow up, would that work for the commission? And then we'll have a report on the meeting at the 25th.
I think that makes sense.
I guess any objection?
Nope.
Great.
Okay. Any other business for the commission today? All right, we're adjourned. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.